Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, let's jump on into that thing we do on Wednesday afternoons. We like to call it the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren who've been doing talk radio longer than me, and we just ping each other with questions and just see where the chips fall. So I'll call the roll and see if we have a quorum. From 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN out of Huntsville. Oh, by the way, also writes for Yellowhammer News and allegedly is on other stations around the state. Dale Jackson, are you there? He is there. All right, stand at ease. All right. And from FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show in the mornings down in Mobile. Oh, by the way, he's also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News and stuff for Breitbart. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. All right. Well, I'm glad both of you here. I pronounce a quorum. Big Rig, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. All right. Dale Jackson, first question, first round. What do you got?
You know, speaking to Jeff Poor regularly and you more than I'd like, Senator Williams, I have this question about this show and talk radio in Alabama in general. Is this a Russian psyop?
This show? This show right here?
I just got to know because apparently everything is right now. So is this a Russian psyop?
Are you smelling collusion? Did I put on my collusion cologne today? I don't know what's happening right now.
I mean, they must be feeling pretty good about the election if we're back to the collusion thing, which, by the way, did not work in 2016.
Yeah, so the narrative you're talking about right now is the one that launched today that suddenly we appear to have claims of Russian collusion trying to impact the 2024 election, just in time for Kamala to really be in trouble, apparently. Jeff, weigh in there, bud.
Phil's show is Iranian.
Iranian collusion. Gotcha.
I think yours is the Russian, Dale, because you got the projection going. I don't know.
I like it. That's a good idea. Not me. It's those guys.
Well, wait a minute. Then what's Jeff? What are you, Jeff? Like a Houthis? Are you the Houthis down there?
American here. I don't
nobody cares enough about what Jeff has to say to pay him.
He's okay. This is really it's gotten to the point of being silly. Is Russia? I mean, probably every government that hates us would like to dabble in our elections and mess things up. But I think what you're
like,
really
we don't
saying,
do the same.
Okay. did you just go ahead and bring in imperialism? What did you just do?
I'm just saying, like, obviously we're all interested in what's going on around the world. And if we can put our thumbs on the scale, of course we're going to do that.
But the bottom line is, too, is this an indication? I think I saw your tweet earlier on Twitter or X or whatever it's called, that you're implying that these claims being made of Russian influence is a clear indication that Kamala may not be doing well in the polling. Is that what you're saying?
I gotta believe that. I mean, what's the other reason? They just figured this out. They just yesterday they figured out they've been telling us for years.
It's an insurance
policy.
It's an insurance policy, right? Like, okay, it can't be the high paid campaign operatives or the Democrats have on their payroll. It can't be that at all. It has to be something else because no rational human being ever would vote for a guy like Donald Trump. There has to be something else going on here.
Well, the monkeypox task force got disbanded, so they didn't have the pandemic capability to call in. So I guess they had to go with Russia. That's what it sounds like. Just saying. All right, Jeff, what do you got for us?
Georgia school shooting. Are we going to live through another Second Amendment gun grabbing or gun control news cycle?
Yeah. You stole my first question, but yeah. I mean, the question I had to add to that was how long before it becomes a gun control political issue? Because it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And yeah, I suspect by tonight, the Biden-Harris administration and the Harris-Waltz campaign will be out there with all of their surrogates talking about how gun control is necessary.
It doesn't work, though, does it? I guess that was where I was headed with this, is like, when is this ever? I mean, like, sure, you would have a debate about it, fine, but it's all baked in.
Yeah, when does it work? I mean, there's never been a time when you can show that it curtails bad people from ever being bad. What it does is it gives government more control. That's what it does. I mean, Australia is a classic example right now. Look what they did to their people during COVID. They literally built camps and made people have to stay in like these isolation camps Well, there's no, they disarmed their citizenry about 10 years ago. Unbelievable. The land of, you know, down under that I thought was like, you know, Crocodile Dundee, and everybody was like hardy and just like us, and they got disarmed. Dale.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is look in Birmingham, or excuse me, in Mobile, where they're talking about some gun control laws, too. That's going nowhere. This conversation is kind of a silly one. 14-year-olds aren't allowed to have guns. 14-year-olds aren't allowed to kill people. And this 14-year-old apparently tried to do both of those things. So it doesn't look like a Second Amendment infringing on a Second Amendment law is going to do anything with this. Yes, we're going to have the conversation. And I just got to say, if Kamala Harris was president right now, this never would have happened. I mean, that's the one thing that I think is pretty clear here. It's Donald Trump's fault because he was president a couple of years ago. But if Kamala Harris was president right now, none of this would have happened.
Well, I feel certain what we're also going to see, too, is the leadership of the city of Montgomery will come out quickly and claim that the gun laws are part of the reason why they have crime. But, you know, whatever. All right, let me jump on something real quick. So before we have a chance to convene the Grand Council next week, there will have been a debate between Harris and Trump.
You sure about that?
I'm told that we will. That right now, that is the like the spot on the calendar, the tack on the wall is that we are going to apparently have a debate. Give me your predictions. I want to hear your thoughts. Where is it going to go? Dale, you first.
First off, the Harris campaign still is adamant that they have not agreed to the terms yet. So that continues to go on. I think the last debate was probably the most consequential debate in American history.
Yeah.
Again, television history, maybe. Maybe Lincoln and Douglas was more consequential. I don't know. Either way, we have to look at this. It set the stage for big swings that come with big rewards. But also, if you miss, it's going to be embarrassing. So is Kamala Harris going to come up with one of these contrived "I'm speaking" moments like my wife gives me all the time? And how is that going to hit? I mean, that's really the question. And will Donald Trump just be like, "Look, I knocked the other guy out by being cool and calm. I'm just going to do that now." I mean, which are we going to get? But I think there is there's a big room for a mistake or an error here. And we'll see who makes it.
Jeffro, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say this, the bar for Kamala Harris, I mean, is it really low? Is it really high? For Biden, it was really low, and he couldn't even achieve that, and that's why Biden's on the sidelines now. I'm not sure what the expectations are. We kind of have an idea of where Trump will go. They'll ask questions, and he won't really answer. Both candidates will probably treat it that way, assuming that the rules stay the same. But the unknown to me is, well, how do we think she's going to do? All we have really is a few primary debates in the VP debate last cycle. So, you know, make of that what you will. But I don't know what the expectations for her ought to be.
I think the expectations for her are hold your own, do no harm. And then the question is going to be, can she work without a script? You know, there's this talk about how, no, she wants to have notes. And no, she right now it's a no notes standing. Mic turns off. It's going to be just like a mirror image of what they did with in June. My suggestion, if like anybody was even listening to the Trump campaign, would be just agree to whatever they want. Don't let her get away with finding an excuse. You want to do it while we wear purple, you know, people eater suits? I don't care. Sure, we'll do it. You want to watch Teletubbies while we're doing it? Sure, we'll do it. But all said and done, I think policy Trump needs to show up. It worked pretty well last time. And then just dismantle Kamala with her own policies. That's where I see it going. All right. God, bombs. Is that round one? All right, round one. Round one, we are done. Heading to a break right now. We're on the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson and just little old me, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, got some red meat for the soul. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, we're going back to round number two with the Grand Council, Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. Round two, question one, Dale Jackson, what you got?
I've been following these stories about the migrants getting on buses, migrants taking over apartment complexes, immigrants, illegal immigrants, whatever you want to call them, taking these things over. You buy these things? Is this real? Is this what's happening? You saw in Chicago and Aurora, Colorado as well. Is this something that we need to be concerned about? And if it continues, what's going to happen?
Well, so first of all, are you asking if it's real? Yeah, it's real. Mm-hmm. Now, Chicago is an unconfirmed report, but Aurora, Colorado has absolutely got three apartment complexes that Tres de Aragua, which is the Venezuelan gang, has taken over. It's and you know, video evidence on that one. But so is it something to be concerned about? Absolutely. In fact, I'm really trying to figure out why they have not had a SWAT team take back of the buildings. And they're going through the legal processes to declare it a criminal eviction process that needs to take place. It's a criminal nuisance. And I get it, but you know what? There's citizens right there that are in harm's way and armed gang members wandering the hallways with impunity. And is it a concern? Absolutely. It may be in Colorado, and their own policies may have helped exacerbate this, but I'm just saying, yeah, we should be concerned about it. Jeff?
I haven't spent much time at public housing projects in major American cities, but I got to think this is maybe kind of the way it is, unfortunately, that the gangs kind of run a lot of these places. And for whatever reason, the local authorities just don't have the manpower to deal with it.
Yeah, there's that, but it's a combination. These are not actual public housing complexes, my recollection. These are actual apartment buildings owned by a management company, and the gangs took them over and have been collecting the rent themselves. And it just it's just nuts. Your own question, Dale. What are you thinking?
Well, I want to know where the individuals are in not only law enforcement, but where's the federal government on this? Where are they? What are they doing? I mean, this is supposed to be right up their alley. Well, where are they?
That requires an admission of guilt. I mean, when you say, oh, by the way, they're also illegals from Venezuela, and we just rekindled our Venezuelan parole program, and we're flying them in, you know, full plane loads. I mean, it's like saying, hey, that thing that happened in Colorado, it's kind of our fault. They're not going to do that. This is an election.
Well, I mean, they got every grandma within 100 miles with a MAGA sticker on January 6th, 100 miles of D.C. I don't know. I see something like this. Like, how hard could it be to just maintain law and order?
It shouldn't be near as hard as they make it out to be. All right, next question. Jeff, what do you got?
Winston Churchill, hero or heel?
Absolute rock star hero. I mean, God, I'm still trying to figure out where did this come from? What, by the way, I haven't tracked that story well. I've just seen like top lines. So what's the background?
Tucker had a historian on, and this guy's kind of claim to fame is that he is like an alternate take on Nazism and Adolf Hitler, and the depiction in our history books is, I guess, slightly different than reality. And that's sort of like the big thing that made people go really, really crazy, other than the Nazi apologetics, is that Winston Churchill wasn't really a hero during World War II. He was actually did some really bad things and made World War II worse.
Well, I guess – the reality is we're going to find out, too, that King George was really not that bad a guy, and we shouldn't have thrown that tea into the harbor when we did. I look back, and this guy is must be looking for a headline. Every once in a while – I mean, I love Tucker, but every once in a while I wonder about some of the guests he brings on. Like, you were just going for fringe here, Tucker. You wanted fringe, and you got it. But there's no way in the world anyone could look at Winston Churchill and say he was part of the problem. I guess if you say that, then maybe the Jews brought it on themselves. You know what I'm saying? Dale.
But yeah, I got to tell you, you know, this whole thing is kind of silly. These are the same people that try to argue that Netanyahu's the bad guy, right? Like in this scenario, he's the villain, and we're trying to make him out to be. The world's kind of a tipsy-turvy right now. We're looking at this, and it doesn't make any sense. And there's a reason why same people are going, this is stupid. But I'd like to just talk about Tucker Carlson for a second. I remember when everyone was saying, oh, him getting fired from Fox News is the best thing that ever happened. Oh, it's amazing. He's going to be so big. He has now been pushed into the fringes of the conversation. And it is it's very unfortunate because, you know, confirmation bias, maybe. I don't know what it is, but I really enjoyed his show on Fox News. But this stuff is crazy. I have no interest in this.
So what you just said basically was that Jeff asked the fringe question for the day. That's what I heard.
No, Jeff asked the right question. Good question. Good question. Good question. But it's incredibly frustrating to see this happen to Tucker Carlson, who I think was one of the leading voices on the right, and now he has been completely sidelined and marginalized. Self-marginalization at some point, but just very sad to see.
All right, last question. Let me bring it home. So, you know, something that a lot of people don't realize is that all of a sudden Alabama has a purple district. Alabama's new congressional district two. So Caroline Dobson, Shamari Figures, Republican, Democrat. Jeff, especially you, I want to hear from you because you live in part of that district, or you actually you're close to that district at the very least, because she extends down to Mobile. What's going to happen with Caroline Dobson as a Republican? Is it going to go? Are we going to keep this seat, or are we going to lose a seat?
I mean, it's probably with Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket, makes it a little harder of a race. Even if you had an October surprise for either one of these Shamari Figures or Caroline Dobson, probably would not have near the impact as who wins that race at the top of the ticket with the presidency in AL2. Now, I would say this, AL2, while being a swing district, it is not your typical, even Midwestern-y kind of swing district. The demographics are very, very different. The how you get the vote out is very, very different. But it's really going to come down to whoever wins it, Trump or Harris in AL2, and everything else is just going to follow that lead.
Dale.
The reason this question is being asked, I believe, is the poll that was from the Southern Poverty Law Center Action Fund that says that Figures has a 51-39 lead over Caroline Dobson. Is that correct?
No, that's I had right. Not seen that poll, but there you go. I guess I'm just timely and didn't know it.
Yeah, that came out a couple days ago. And
the Southern Poverty Law Center has a poll as the buried lead here.
I agree with that. That's why I mentioned it. And so that's really where they're at. And, you know, I think that's something we might want to question. But either way, Kamala Harris is on that ballot. And that is a black person at the top in a district that is drawn for a black Democrat. They're fired up. I mean, no question about it. Biden's off the ticket. Biden leaving the race has helped every Democrat on the ticket, and it's helped Biden's numbers go up as well. So I think that's what the answer is.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so next the American Communist Party is going to have a poll. All right, fellas, I appreciate you as always. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5, 1819 News, and Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville. Oh, by the way, Yellowhammer News, and little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.